I can't resist. All of God's people said, this old Bible of mine, it's been around a long time. It's kind of like me. It's held together by Gorilla Glue, but I just can't give it up. Good to be in the house of the Lord. God, is it just you and me? It's enough. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You know, it doesn't hurt anything. I'm walking around here getting used to this because I might walk into something. It wouldn't be the first time. I feel good tonight. And I'm just hoping that you feel good tonight. You know, every time I get ready to preach, I ask the Lord a little favor. I just want to be sure that I'm preaching on what He wants me to preach. And God does it every time. The first song that you sang tonight solidified that the scripture text that I had picked was the right one. I should say the scripture text that the Lord picked. I'm wondering, how many of you are discouraged? How many of you feel defeated? You know, if I was going to title my message tonight, I'd have to call it The Answer to Discouragement. Everything that we need, everything we need to know is in God's Word. You know, we kind of beat around the bush, and I'm kind of like David. David, I want revival so bad. But God's people need to realize the world isn't what's stopping us from having revival. It's the church. Something's happening to us. You know, we do need a movement. You know, we had this youth movement, you know, the Jesus movement. I remember when we had the youth over here at Hillcrest, we had between 32 and 40 teenagers coming to our house. The neighbors thought we were selling drugs. Yeah, Dean and Linda remember that real well, I guarantee you. And you know what? There was an exciting time then. I remember when the kids started growing their hair long and wearing the beads and what have you and everything else, and parents were getting real nervous. We said they'd get over that. They did. Now it's piercing. And they'll get over that. But I tell you what I remember. I remember that there was a movement. There was a movement where people were being saved in places where you would not think people were being saved. And we need that today. You know, I'd love it to come from the senior citizens this time. It'd be okay. Wouldn't hurt a thing. Maybe some nursing home get all riled up, become Jesus freaks, you know. There seems to be this idea that we have to wait on somebody else to get us up and going. I don't know where that idea comes from. It's not in the Word of God. The scripture that I'm going to be reading to you tonight, Paul is writing to Timothy, and obviously by the letter we can see that Timothy has become discouraged. He feels defeated. And Paul writes to him and he tells him something, and I know you've been standing a long time, so I'm going to give you a little bit of rest before you stand for the reading of the scripture, because I believe we need to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. But he writes to him and he tells him something. I'll be reading this in just a minute. He wants to stir him up. And that word stir, where he uses it, it's kind of like keep the fire going. Don't let it go out. I'm afraid that the church is letting the fire go out. You know, when we take a look around, and I'm thankful for this group here tonight, but let me tell you something. If we had revival, this church could not hold the multitude. Every church in this town could be filled to the brim, and there still would not be room. There are lost souls around us, and they are looking at the church, and they're looking at us for hope. And if we go around with this defeated attitude, guess what? They don't need it. They've already got it. They're wanting to see some excitement. And you know, I'm not talking about this fake excitement. I'm not talking about that. You know, you can muster up excitement. I remember I might have shared that here when we were kids in New York. We'd get out on the street corner and look up at a tall building. Just four or five of us look up at this tall building and lean back. Pretty soon here comes a big crowd. They're all looking up there. After a couple of minutes, you say, you think he'll jump? Man, the crowd's excited. Somebody's going to jump. Then we'd sneak away. Watch the crowd. You can get people to go to a ball game. You know, we've gone to football games. If the church got half as excited at a football game when I was preaching, I'd probably pass out. Amen. Man, it's something that, you know, when he read that scripture from 2 Chronicles, and I've heard it at every revival meeting I've ever been to, I guess. If my people who are called by my name, God's people, revival depends upon us. Yeah. Oh, I'm not leaving God out of the equation here. He wants to use us. We need to let him use us. My scripture tonight comes from 2 Timothy, 1st chapter, verses 6 through 14. I'm going to give you a chance to turn to that. Carolyn and I, over the years, talking about the church, I think the pastor can relate to this. There are plates and plate spinners. Have you ever been to a circus? You know, it's okay to talk back. I want to be sure I'm talking to, you know, if we're going to go to a funeral message, open up your Bibles to. Listen to me. Have you ever been to a circus? Have you ever seen the guy spinning plates? He gets a plate going, and then he goes around, he gets another plate, he gets it going. Then he goes and gets another plate, he gets it going. And about the time he gets the fourth plate going, guess what's happened to the first plate? So he runs back, gets that first plate going, get the second plate going, get the third plate going, get the fourth plate going, and he might get the fifth plate going, but the first plate's about to fall. Preachers feel that way. In the church, you've got members that you've got to spin their plates. You know, it's amazing to me. I'm just going to be just perfectly honest with you. Tomorrow night, my church will probably be here too, some of them. I hope so. They may not come. They heard me. But if they do come, you know what? They'll tell you. To me, it seems that it's a shame that we have to ask people to fill positions in the church. People should be coming in saying, "Preacher, what have you got?" We've got a few members of my church that come up to me and say, "Preacher, I'll do anything from babysitting to cleaning up the church to doing whatever you ask me to do." I almost passed out. But that's what we need. We need God's people to realize that we are at war, and we need to put on the armor of God and get into the battle. If you found the scripture text, please stand with me. Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 chapter, starting in verse 6. "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Let us pray. Father, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon reading the scripture, Father, that your word might be used to accomplish your will, Father, that you might be glorified through this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. He starts out by saying, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. The first thing I want you to notice is we need to remember. What do we need to remember? He says, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. The gift of God which is in thee. I'm speaking to the church of the living God tonight. I don't care what church you attend. If you're a child of the King, you're part of His church. Rapture comes, it's going to be real funny. There's going to be some looking around, how do you get up here? He's thinking the same thing about you. You know, people get into all of these fusses about theology and everything else. You know, hey, doesn't make any difference. I'm going to tell you what, you're either saved or you're lost. That's it. You either have Him or you don't have Him. You either have Him or you need Him. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, Timothy, I know the path is rough. I know because I'm a preacher of the gospel. I know because I'm facing the same thing. I know because Jesus faced it and He warned us we would face it. Things aren't necessarily getting better. I really believe that here in America, we're living in the falling away, the great falling away. I really believe that. You know, percentage-wise, the church isn't keeping up with the population. I thank God for the revivals that are going on in China, the revivals that are going on, you know, in these foreign countries. You know, we hear from the Philippines. We're helping a little church in the Philippines. And they reach hundreds. People walk for 2 days to come to church. And when they get there, they spend the night. And when they have vacation Bible school, they spend the week because they don't have time to get back home and walk back the next day. But here, God's people have forgotten the gift that was given to us when we were saved. I want you to catch this, you know, if you don't get anything else. Salvation is so simple. Jesus, who was righteous, took His righteousness and put it on me, and took my unrighteousness and put it on Him, and then He died in my place. That's what happened. That's what salvation is. The Holy Son of God taking the sin of man upon Himself and dying in our place. But listen, He not only put righteousness on me, He put the Holy Spirit in me. A lot of people down at the altar from time to time praying, Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with the Spirit. The Spirit's in there. He's dying to get out. Don't quench the Spirit. That's one of the biggest problems that we have today is Christians have forgotten they need to remember what happened when we were saved. Do you remember when you were saved? Some people can't remember because you can't remember an incident that didn't happen. I might have to repeat that. If the fellow next to you is asleep, nudge him a little. Some people can't remember what happened because it didn't happen. But to those of us, when it happened, we will never forget meeting Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I was a young boy, I was working for Joy's Grocery Store in New York City, and I ran into a fellow in the street right there by Columbia University. We were just 2 blocks from Columbia University, and it turned out to be Pat Boone. I told people I met Pat Boone. Big deal. They didn't care. They didn't even believe me. But I never forgot running into Pat Boone. It was no big deal. But that's nothing compared to meeting Jesus. Stop and think about it. I don't know who's the most important person you've ever met. With me, it's been Carolyn. But when you meet somebody who makes an impression on your life, you don't forget that. And if you have not had Christ in your life, you need to have it. Then you'll understand why I get excited. I'm not excited yet, really. I'm going to get there. But I have been stirred up. And I have been put in remembrance of the gift which God has given me. And He says, listen, get stirred up. Don't let the fire go out. And then in verse 7, I want you to catch this, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Listen, he says, fear not, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Something that amazes me is that people forget that when you start forgetting about your salvation, when you start forgetting about the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, you start to become fearful, and when you become fearful, you start to fall. I'll give you a good example. You remember a guy by the name of Peter? Got out there in the boat. There's a storm. The Lord comes, and Peter says to the Lord, Lord, if that's you, you call me, and I'll come walking on the water. And he gets out of the boat, and he starts walking on the water. You remember what happened? He forgot that it was Jesus calling him. And he started to look at the wind and the rain, and you know what happened? He got frightened, and as soon as he got frightened, he started to sink, because when we get fearful, we start to fall. He says, listen, Timothy, remember, and then fear not. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't let anything stop you. Listen to what he says in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. What's he saying? Ever been to a testimonial service? Can I hear? Yeah, a few of you have. Disappointing. Preacher gets up, he's all excited. We're going to have a testimonial service. Don't announce it in the morning. Announce it on the spur of the moment. 40 years experience, I can tell you, folks. And then it happens. People out there have stage fright. Oh, Pastor, I just don't know if I can get up in front of all of those people. Man, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you ashamed of Jesus? There shouldn't be a single person left in a testimonial service that doesn't at least get up and say, I love the Lord for what he's done for me. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, that's what happens when we forget. When we forget what God has done, when we forget what the cost of our salvation was. Listen to me, salvation is a free gift from God, but it cost him his son. Are you ashamed? That's what he says. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. You know what? I never thought in my life, my family never thought, nobody ever thought I'd be a preacher. As far as I'm concerned, I'm the most unqualified person to be in a pulpit. But praise God. Yeah, praise God. For some reason or another, he looked down, you know, I used to hear that song, Down in the Valley of Sin and Shame, Jesus looked down and he called my name, and I could hear him saying, Fred! You know what's exciting? He called me before the foundations of the earth. He knew. Nobody else knew. Oh, I know after, for those of you who don't know me, I came to this church when I was 27 years old, baptized when I was 28, surrendered and became a deacon, I don't know, about the age of 30, and surrendered to preach at the age of 35. I tell people, never been to college, never been to seminary, and if I didn't have the temperature, I wouldn't have any degrees. And God called me to preach. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Fred, are you sure God called you to preach? I said, I'm more sure about my calling to preach than I am my salvation, and I'm positive about my salvation. Yeah. Remember, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. He's calling out to this young man and saying, listen, the ministry is not easy. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't make any difference if you're a pastor or you're filling the pulpit. The ministry, because every one of us were given spiritual gifts when we were saved. Every one of us has a ministry. Don't sit there and look at me like, preacher, you're the one called to preach, not me. He called you. He saved you. You're in the ministry. And he's saying, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be afraid of it. Do it. Just do it. Yeah. When we do, you'll see revival. You'll see revival. Listen, I love this. Verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Did you hear that? I didn't make it up. Oh, I didn't make it up. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is God's word. He says here, he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We are the ecclesia, the class, the elect, the church of the living God. You know what? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. I know the guys like to hear that, wives, submit unto your husbands. Yeah, they don't, yeah. But read that other one. Hey, love your wife even as Christ loved the church. He gave himself for the church. Do you know what it's saying here? He's saying, hey, he not only called me and saved me with a holy calling, but he did this before the foundations of the earth. He has saved, called, and given us a ministry. If you think this has been good, I'm getting ready to start preaching. Listen to this. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm going to get excited. I'm an immortal.
Amen.
Yeah. Those of you that are saved, we're the immortals. You know, they've got all these shows on television and everything. I tell you what, I can't hardly believe what people will watch. My thumb gets its exercise going through the channels. But people are just caught up with this thing about, you know, the werewolves and the witches and all of this stuff. Listen, that's coming in the tribulation period. Worse than what they can imagine. But I want to tell you what this is saying. You remember Jesus came up on a funeral and the girls were crying? They said, oh, Jesus, if you had been here a little earlier, old Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus very calmly said, hey, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Woo! When I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I became an immortal soul destined for heaven to rule and reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. And he said this was made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. You know, it's no little thing that he did when he walked out of that tomb. Yeah. Stop and think about it. He'd been beat up pretty bad. I can go back and give you some illustrations back in New York, but I remember getting beat up a time or two. Didn't feel too good. But I can't imagine being beat the way he was beat and being nailed to a cross the way he was nailed to a cross and to suffer the agony and to be pierced through the side and to rise again. That was no small feat. That was the grace of God in action. Listen, I want to tell you here, what Jesus did was Jesus proved to me once and for all, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I will rise again. Yeah. Will rise. And Jesus proved it. You know, I shared this morning, you know, that there's no, absolutely no doubt that Jesus lived, was crucified, and rose again from the dead. And they can try to prove every which way they want to. Listen to me. They cannot prove. Even our calendar separates before Christ and after Christ. Before Christ and the year of our Lord. this is the year of our Lord 2016. I've got news for them. They've got it wrong. Day one was the year of our Lord. And it's always been. You know history? You know what that is? His story. Yeah. That's what history is. His story. So let me move on, because I know some of you like to hear that in closing. Those of you that are visiting, when I say in closing, some of you will look at your watch. When my people come, they look at their calendar. There was a great deacon in this church one day that said, "Brother Fred is short, but he's never brief." He's already in heaven, and I'm looking forward to being there with my brother. Anyway, verse 11, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." You see, that's what I've been saying to you. Each one of us has an appointment. God has given us something to do. And the trouble is that instead of spinning plates, we're allowing ourselves to be spun. We need to be about the Master's business. I've heard this over and over again, and I tell you what, sometimes I think when I hear people preaching revival messages, you know, I almost think, God, you're going to have to send something, an earthquake or something, to shake us up. Because God's people are being lulled to sleep, thinking that the rapture's way off in the future. And I've got news for you. The rapture may not come tonight, but you might die. Listen. "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." One of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible. "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." You see, a long time ago, I was worried because my background taught me that my salvation was based on what I did. But according to the Word of God, my salvation is based on what he did. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He says, "I know whom." Do you know Jesus? This is the crutch. This is really the closing of the message. Do you know Jesus? He says, "I know whom I have believed." In other words, he knew in whom he had put his faith and trust. My question tonight is, in who have you put your faith and trust? If you're discouraged, if you're defeated, if you're being beaten down, listen, don't look down, look up. Look to Jesus. Listen to what he's saying here. He says, "I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded." In other words, it's just like I'm talking. I'm not guessing about my salvation. I'm not guessing whether or not I'm going to heaven. And listen to me, I'm not being, maybe I'm being obnoxious, but that's not the word I'm looking for. But I am positive that my Lord died for me. And I can't speak for anyone else, but I can tell you this: when I met Jesus Christ, he changed my life. My brothers and sisters, they couldn't hardly believe it. My brother came down to visit, and some of the people who remember back then, when my brother Jerry came down, he was here on three congressional court martials. He was about to be kicked out of the army. He was a DI. He was one of the meanest people. And three congressional court martials for cruelty to the troops. He had one fellow put a rope around his neck, jumped off the barrack thing, broke both legs because the rope was too long, and my brother went out and chewed him out in front of the rest of the men for being so stupid he couldn't commit suicide. That's the kind of guy my brother was. And my brother came. And all of a sudden, I'm a Bible-packing youth director in the church. He couldn't believe it. All he can remember was me back in New York. And he said, "What happened to Fred?" And he went to my brother-in-law, Paul, and he asked Paul, he said, "Well, what's happened to Fred? He's not the same guy." And Paul told him, "Fred met Jesus. He got saved." My brother got saved while he was down here. He went back, called the troops out in formation, gave his testimony, gave an invitation. Two were saved and one rededicated their life. They moved him. Couldn't use him as a DI anymore. My brother Jerry passed away a few years back, and I had the honor of preaching his funeral. Man, it's good to know I've got a brother in heaven. But I want you to know something. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And don't tell me you're saved if there's not a change, because conversion means changed. Something happens. Here's the kick to it. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. And the question that I have for you tonight as we get ready, what have you committed to Christ? Some people think that committing to come to church is enough. We're not saved by coming to church, but if you're saved, you'll be coming to church. Yeah. We're not saved by how much we give, but if we're saved, we give. I can't give him what he's given me. I can't even give him a portion of it. Now stop and think about this trade. I get him and he gets me. Whew. That's kind of like the deal Carolyn got. Yeah, just think about this. The trade. Everything that I have is temporal. Everything that I have is temporal, but he has given me eternity. What have I really given him? When we say he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, have you given him yourself? You see, this is where people go astray. Lord in the Bible's with a capital L when it's referring to God. Did you know that? You can nod yes. If you don't want to say amen, I'll get by with a nod, okay? Yeah. So here's the deal. Have you given him you? Because you can't get him if you don't give him you. It's a trade. You're entering into the covenant with God. You know what they call a marriage? It's a covenant. Yeah. And you're entering into a covenant with God when you turn around and you say, Lord, come into my heart and take control of my life. See, a lot of people want to be saved, but they don't want to serve. Well, if he's your master, you got to serve. And if you don't serve, guess what? He's not your master. And if you're not serving, you're not saved. Don't tell me, well, preacher, we can be saved and not serve. That ain't the way the book writes. Listen, my English may not be right, but my theology is perfect. According to the word of God, you know, it's real interesting. I believe in eternal security more than anybody else, guaranteed. Yeah, I believe I've got it, and I'm not going to lose it because I'm not hanging on to him. He's hanging on to me. I love that arrangement. But here's what I want to tell you. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Yeah. And don't become upset with me because I'm just the messenger. It's in the Word of God. Don't call him Lord if he's not your Lord. He said there's going to be people who have performed miracles. There's going to be people who have done exorcisms. There's going to be people who have looked good in the eyes of man. And Jesus will look and say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you, because all they did was come to the church to get something rather than to give their heart and life to Christ. I'll tell you the best part about this. What little you have to give to him is nothing compared to what he's going to give to you in return. Have you given your heart and life to Jesus? Christian, do you need to be reminded, just like Timothy, by Paul? Hey, Stir up the coals. Keep the fire going. Don't grow weary. Don't be ashamed. Be bold. Don't be afraid. Stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor, if you'll come, let's join our hearts in prayer. If you'll all stand with me right now. Heavenly Father, I'm praying that everyone present has committed themselves to you, Lord God. I'm praying that everyone present understands, Lord God, that you are Lord, Creator, that you are all-powerful, that you are the Almighty, and there is no God but you. Father, if there's anyone present who hasn't yet received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, we're praying, Father, that we not be a hindrance to the moving of your Spirit, but rather, Lord God, that every one of your children right now would be joining their hearts one with another in prayer, that souls will be saved and that Christians will commit themselves to you, Father, to come out of the woodwork to say, I'm no longer going to be ashamed. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. Father, that you would send revival and let it start here with us. Glorify yourself in and through us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
You know, God bless you. This is what God, I believe, is speaking to our hearts tonight through our brother, through our messenger. It's, what do you need your heart stirred for tonight? Stir your hearts up. Could it be that you need to know Jesus tonight? You need to have a life-changing experience? The Bible says, Jesus said that unless the Father draws them to me, meaning Jesus, I have no part in them. Tonight, maybe God is drawing you to Jesus. You need to come to this altar. We're going to sing in just a moment, but this is an invitation. Maybe you just are brokenhearted over something tonight, or there's something heavy on your mind. You just need to come to this altar and pray. Don't be afraid of the altar. Man, if we're going to see revival, we got to get on our knees before the Lord. We've got to bring it before Him. And I love what you said, man, about looking up tonight. That's what we've got to do. Man, I'm guilty of that. I get defeated. I get discouraged. It is tough in ministry. It's tough in life right now. It's tough to be a Christian right now in this country. Man, if there's ever a time to look up, this is the time we got to be looking up. So let's give this invitation to Jesus. Let's sing to Him. Let's praise and worship Him. But let's do business with Him as well. As His Spirit speaks to us tonight, let's draw near to Him.